If property taxes go away, how would local governments pay for the services we expect local government to provide?
Medicines and drugs and chemicals into your body that you did not consent to.
Kids who got Head Start, they're more likely to graduate from high school, more likely to go to college. Their BMI is less, their health is better.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's top stories, the Florida House wants to take the lead on plans to reduce and reform property taxes in the state. Tristan Wood reports House Speaker Daniel Perez announced today he's launching a House Select Committee to draft ballot initiatives over the summer to go on the 2026 ballot.
While addressing his chamber, Perez acknowledged Governor Ron DeSantis had been calling for abolishing property taxes. But the speaker says the governor's calls have come with few specifics.
Naturally, many of us had the same questions. How would elimination of property taxes work? If property taxes go away, how would local governments pay for the services we expect local government to provide, like police, fire, and infrastructure? Unfortunately, as the weeks have gone by, the governor has yet to come forward with any specific answer to those questions, or with any specific plan, or with actual bill language. The Florida Constitution prohibits the state legislature from exercising direct control over property taxes.
Perez says there aren't enough details for the House to act this session. Instead, he wants a select committee to work to draft several constitutional amendments to go on the ballot in 2026 to bring property tax reform in several areas, including expanding homestead exemptions, requiring cities and counties to hold referendums on eliminating homestead property taxes, and prohibiting foreclosure on homesteaded property for unpaid taxes. Perez and DeSantis have been butting heads this session, but the speaker says he's open to more ideas about the changes, no matter who the suggestions come from.
If the governor comes forward with a proposal, we will hear it. All ideas are welcomed. All voices are invited to be heard. This process is not about ego or pride of authorship or credit. This is about bringing the very best proposals before the people of Florida so that they have an opportunity to decide their own fate.
DeSantis and the Florida House have been locked in a standoff over several policy issues, including arguments about tax relief, the governor's Hope Florida scandal, and more. Some say this move gives Perez the chance to use his power as House Speaker to exert some control in their standoff. I'm Tristan Wood.
The Florida House today gave final approval to a bill that would prevent local governments from adding fluoride to water supplies. It also would take aim at the labeling of plant-based products such as milk, meat, and eggs. The bill comes amid debates in cities and counties across the state about ending the decades-old practice of adding fluoride to public water supplies to improve dental health. GOP Representative Danny Alvarez says government agencies should not decide whether to put drugs and chemicals in people's bodies.
Does the government have the right, by a mere simple majority vote, to put medicines and drugs and chemicals into your body that you did not consent to?
But bill opponents, including Representative Anna Eskamani, say adding fluoride to water supplies is a public health measure.
At the current levels of fluoride, it's very, very low. And it not only is it safe, it's a game changer for dental health.
The Senate passed the bill earlier this month, which means it's now ready to go to Governor Ron DeSantis. If DeSantis signs the bill, Florida would follow the lead of Utah, which this year became the first state to ban fluoride in public water supplies. Finally tonight, the Trump administration is proposing a budget for the upcoming fiscal year starting October 1st that would completely eliminate federal support for the early childhood education program known as Head Start. Layoffs have already begun in other states. In Florida, where Head Start serves more than 40,000 families, experts say the loss could be devastating to those families and potentially the economy. Margie Menzel reports.
Wanda Minnick, the executive director of the Florida Head Start Association, says she's been shocked to learn that most people don't know what Head Start does. She says from her point of view, the services are essential.
Ensuring that our families, regardless of circumstances, have an opportunity to have an education, have access to nutritious meals, have access to health and medical, dental services that most early care and education programs do not do.
Head Start was established in 1965, part of President Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty. Today, it serves thousands of Florida families, mostly those who are low income or have children with disabilities. Head Start provides child care for children ages 3 to 5, and Early Head Start serves children under the age of 3 and pregnant women.
Head Start is a two-generational thing. It's to lift up the families and help the children be ready for school.
That's Mimi Graham, director of the Florida State University Center for Prevention and Early Intervention Policy. She says the program has lifelong impacts for kids who might otherwise not have access to early childhood programs.
The kids who got Head Start, they're more likely to graduate from high school, more likely to go to college. Their BMI is less. Their health is better. They're making more money. They're more likely to be employed. They're more likely to own their house. You can go on and on and on. So there's health, educational, and economic outcomes.
So what would happen if Head Start were eliminated? Nina Perez is the Early Childhood National Campaign Director at Moms Rising. She says she doesn't think either Florida's school readiness programs or its private market could absorb all the kids who would lose their child care.
One of the things I don't think people realize is that this will have ripple effects in a community. Not only in the loss of critical high-quality education opportunities for children, and for the parents also depending on that care, but it affects the entire market in the sense that now you have a new childcare desert.
She says parents will be forced to figure out how to fill in those gaps. She worries parents could pick childcare options that have less vetting.
And as they fill in those gaps into a market that's going to become tighter, pick unsafe care options because they won't have any choice.
Or parents could be forced to exit the workforce. Head Start advocates all over the country are sounding the alarm, hoping to convince the Trump administration it would be making a mistake to eliminate the program. Florida Head Start's Wanda Minnick says there's still time to save it.
This is simply a proposal. It does have to go through the House and Senate congressional to be finalized. So at this moment in time, our organization, as well as other Head Start associations around the nation, are gearing up to educate everyone about the work that Head Start does and has been doing for 60 years.
On Monday, a coalition of parents and providers announced that they're suing the Trump administration over the cuts. The lawsuit accuses the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services of trying to dismantle Head Start without congressional approval. I'm Margie Menzel.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol. That show is also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following: Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capital Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.